Welcome to Messy Business, the podcast that will help you change how you work, not who you are. This is where we talk honestly about thinking clearly, making better decisions, and building a business that actually feels good to run without hustle, hype, or pretending everything's fine. I'm Libby Langley, business coach, author, optimist, realist, and self-employed since 2011. Here's this week's episode. Hello, welcome to another episode of Messy Business. I'm Libby Langley, your host for today and for always. Mistakes. Everybody's made them. I wanted to do a list of, I think, the top 10. There's many more. I could talk for 3 weeks about these, I think. But I've narrowed it down to 10. The mistakes that small businesses make. And I just want to do a little caveat here at the beginning to say that it's not a criticism, right? I've probably done all of these things in my time. This is often because we have a bit of comparisonitis. We see stuff on social media and think, oh, that's a good idea. Or, oh, they're doing that. I need to do that too. And it's the kind of slow creep thing that often happens. But if you're at the early stage of your business, this is going to be invaluable to you. And if you're longer in the tooth, as I am, 15 years in, then it'll be like, oh, good refresher, Libby. Okay. So whatever stand anywhere in the middle, right? It's going to be a useful list for you. And one of the things about doing what I do as a professional problem solver and business sorter-outer is that I can usually spot the shape of a problem in a very short space of time. It's most businesses' issues are kind of one of these 10 or, you know, there's maybe 15, but often it's like a top three that I can pinpoint it down to. And I can do that really, really quickly because I've worked with like 7,500 business owners and pretty much everyone has the same sort of issues. So whatever you're feeling and whatever you think is your problem, everybody's had it. I will have had it too somewhere along the way. So there's no shame in any of these things at all because, I don't know, it's universal and we're only human, right? So people will come to me and they'll often say, I need more clients, or my marketing isn't working, or Instagram's new algorithm hates me, something like that. But actually, that's not generally what's going on here. So I'm going to share some of the most common things that I spot very quickly when I look at a business. Right. Number one, too many offers. Who has hands up? Who has too many offers in their business? Who has more than one or two? Who has more than five? Who has more than 10? Yeah, hooey. I mean, it's just a lot, right? And this is service-based business. Obviously, if you're an e-commerce business, then, you know, do whatever you need to do for your business. But service-based businesses, when there are too many offers, what happens is that nobody knows what to buy. You as the business owner, try and cater to everyone, but you don't want to work with everyone. Of course you don't. Why would you? You have a segment of society that you like working with more. And that can be as simple as you just want to work with women, for example, or you just want to work with men, or you just want to work with people over the age of 50. There's some really, really simple ways that segmentation happens, right down to granular detail. But the answer is never going to be everyone. And people say, you know, I sit at networking all the time. You know, who are you looking for? Who can I find? How will I know if I'm looking for someone who might help you? Oh, anyone who needs an accountant. It's like, no. No, because that could be literally everybody in the whole world. So no, it could be geographical, could be size of business, could be type of business, could be sector, could be profit margins, could be looking to grow, could be looking to exit the business. There's so many things, there's so many nuances, right? It's never everyone, never. And if you say you'll work with everyone, then blimey, get me in because your business is going to be giving you headaches and probably not really making any money. So do get me in. It's you don't create a menu of things, right? Because that is what restaurants, that is what restaurants do. And it you give this kind of decision fatigue for people, and confusion will kill sales, but also it will absolutely screw with your profitability. You know, if I need a laminated menu in 10 minutes to understand what you sell, then there's a big problem there. But thinking about menus and stuff, it's quite interesting to see the difference between how restaurants do things. Now, I love fine dining, right? I love a fancy meal, love it. And one thing that the fine dining restaurant, Michelin star restaurants do is they'll have a tasting menu, right? Could be three courses for like a taster, maybe lunchtime, could be 10 courses. And the thing, the kind of beauty about having a tasting menu is it's one choice. Are you having the tasting menu, yes or no? Do you want the five courses or the eight courses? But how it works is that they can get really good ingredients because they're buying them more at scale. If they had tasting menu A, tasting menu B, tasting menu C, tasting menu D, tasting menu E, then, you know, that's 4 million different components that they need to buy. Food will go off. It will be much more expensive to buy because they'll only buy one of something and one of something else. But by offering this option, and some restaurants will exclusively offer the tasting menu, and they may not even offer a vegetarian alternative or something like that, may not be able to cater to allergies, which, you know, whole different issue. But just to say that, you know, as long as you're really upfront about all this stuff, then people can make their choice as to whether they go with you or not. But if you compare that with, say, you know, completely the other end of the scale, some pubs you go to or cafes, it's like, why are there 36 choices on there? The food waste must be astronomical, because if you have more than 10 things, say, on a menu, how on earth are you going to know what people buy? You're going to have to keep buying stuff, and then it's going to be more expensive because you're going to buy one of those and one of those. And it just doesn't make commercial sense. And it's easy to kind of visualize that within a business. But it's, for some reason, in a service-based business, it's like, no, don't know. Just, what do you want? Yes, we'll create that. It doesn't make any sense. So having fewer options allows you to be better at those options, and it allows them to be more profitable, because everything leads to those options, that one option, those two options, those three options, whatever, however many you've got as your kind of offer. And it stops confusion because you can just talk about them. I talk about my business sort outs now. That's it. That's what I offer. And there's different levels of that, depending on if you're a very small business or if you're a slightly more, slightly bigger SME or kind of commercial outfit, then corporate, more corporate or commercial. We're all commercial, right? But you know what I mean? But it's easier. It's just like, I'll sort your business out for you. How'd you do that? Oh, well, you could do this or this, or, you know, if you need something bespoke, let's talk about it. But ultimately, I'll sort your business out on whatever level it is. And having that one kind of message is much easier, which brings me nicely on to point number two. So many people put messaging out there that says absolutely nothing, and particularly if you get ChatGPT to write all your content, it will be the most generic of generic. You know, things like, I help ambitious women thrive. What's that mean? What does thriving mean? What's an ambitious woman? I mean, I would say that that's absolutely not aimed at me, because I'm not at the stage of life where I'm particularly ambitious. I just want to do stuff I enjoy and get paid for it. And thriving, it's like, well, I thrive by not working, really. I thrive by being out in the garden. And I thrive by just working with a really small number of clients that I like. So, don't know. No, it's not aimed at me. Empowering transformation. What does that mean? What does that mean? Transformation from what to what? I don't know. It's not specific. Creating aligned success. What does that mean? Aligned to what? What does success mean? How do you create it? It's, you have to say, what do you actually do? How do you actually help people? If I or any potential client, anyone seeing any of your stuff, speaking to you, has to play detective to figure out what you sell, most people just aren't going to bother. It's like, I can't be bothered. It's like if you see a menu in a restaurant with a million choices, it's really overfacing. Is a word that I would use for that. It's really overfacing, and it's like, I'm confused by choice. So what do? You look for the thing that you are familiar with, and you end up with a burger or a Caesar salad or something. And when there's probably loads of other interesting things there, but it's too much. It's too much, right? Confused people do not buy. Okay, number three. The business relies entirely on the founder. This is a tricky one because my business relies entirely on me. But I am in consultancy territory rather than business owner territory these days. And it is a distinction. But what can happen, so I say this, you know, cautiously, but if your business is relying entirely on you and you've got a team, right, then all the knowledge is in your head. You can't operate. If there's more than one person, you can't operate like that. When I work with subcontractors and things like that, everything's got to be documented. We've got to have a process that everybody knows about, or it's going to be absolute chaos. If all decisions have to go through you, you're a slightly bigger company. What a nightmare. Everybody needs empowering to be able to make all their own decisions, right? If there's no delegation, no systems, and no breathing room, then there's just no nothing. It's really hard work. What's the point in having other people if they're not empowered to do stuff? This is about not being precious, really, and kind of letting go of yourself, of your ego, of your baby to a certain extent if you've got people within the business. But if you work on your own, fine, obviously, you've got to make all the decisions, but you've got to treat the different facets of the business as if people are doing them. I think, particularly when it comes to costing stuff as well. But it's like, what would the CEO do? What would the accountant say? What would the marketing manager say? Pretend that you are all these different roles and actually make smarter decisions. It's got to be smarter than just, here's what's in my head, which there's a lot of stuff in my head. I don't know about yours. So, all right, number four. You might think you have a marketing problem, but actually, I would wager quite a significant sum of money that it is actually to do with an unclear offer, some weird pricing that doesn't make any sense, or pricing that's just been plucked out of thin air and doesn't factor in it, the time or costs, and it's never going to make any money no matter how many of these you deliver. Broken customer journey. You know, are you losing people along the way? Do people get fed up and leave? Do, you know, the completion rate for an online course is something like 3%. I mean, it's really, really low. Could you improve that with a better customer journey? By more touch points, by speaking to people more, by emailing people more, you know, triggering automated emails or whatever, by making them feel more included, would that make them complete it more? Or is that actually, could you make a 20-hour course, a one-hour course, because that's all people want, that would cost you less to host it and all that? Where is your customer journey broken? What if there's no obvious step, obvious next step, or poor follow-up? You know, that's all about customer journey. That's all about your kind of funnel and retention. Marketing does get blamed for everything, but actually often isn't the issue. And it's probably not that you need more clients either. It's that you need to nurture the clients that you've got a bit more. We've all got tons of people that if we just upped our game a little bit and we're a bit more strategic about stuff, probably make twice the amount of money. Yeah? You know, that can be really motivating to just go, oh, yeah, and do that rather than I've got to spend a fortune on Facebook ads to get new people, or Instagram ads to get new people in. I bet you got loads of people kicking around that you could just talk to. Bet that would make a difference. Okay, number five. Pricing that makes no logical sense, and I'm doing a double one for five, not knowing your numbers or data. Oh my God. Almost every client I work with doesn't know what their average or overall profit margin is, doesn't actually know what the costs are going out of their business. almost everybody. I don't think I honestly don't think I've worked with a business owner who knows that off pat. And I'm not saying you need to know down to the pence, right? But you need to know what all your costs are, and you need to have them in a spreadsheet somewhere. You need to know what they are, because how do you know if you can afford to go to that conference or invest with that person, or I don't know, take time off and have a holiday? You just don't know if it's earning any money or not. But pricing that makes no logical sense, things like wildly underpriced expertise. Your expertise counts for a massive load of stuff. And the fact that you can do stuff, you know, if you're experienced and you've got a lot of time and skill under your belt, you can do stuff loads more quickly and efficiently and arguably better than someone who's new into your field. Therefore, you should charge more. It's like if you work your way up the corporate ladder, you'll get paid more than when you start. Doesn't mean that with the same amount of skill and experience, the person who's just at the start isn't going to be better than you. But at this current moment in time, you bring more to the table. You've got a more rounded experience. Therefore, price it, yeah? Price your expertise. And if you're inconsistent or emotional about pricing, you've got to start somewhere, right? You have to pick a number somewhere. But I picked this number. Doesn't work. When I first started out, I ran my business as an agency that delivered social media management, as well as doing my business strategy stuff, effectively the sort outs that I do now. And I set up social media management of Facebook and Twitter back then, 80 quid a month, full service. It's like, I'm sorry, but what now? No wonder we had so many clients. In 5 years that I ran that, by the time that we finished doing it, that same service was something like $2,500 a month, because I got smarter at pricing. It got better, far better at service. And I realized that £80 a month just really wasn't sustainable. So, you know, pricing's got to be sensible and with some data behind it, not just vibes. Okay, six. Lots of activity and very little progress. Now, if you didn't listen to last week's episode, number 192, please go back to that one, because it's all about this. It's all about when you spend a lot of time making reels on Canva, tweaking your website, creating courses and just doing stuff that doesn't actually get you anywhere. Really, really common. Busy work is really, really common in business. But don't waste your time. Go for a walk instead. Go sit in the garden. Go watch Netflix. Go do something else instead of busy work. Because honestly, you'll make as much progress in your business if you're doing nothing versus doing that. Okay, seven. No obvious customer journey. What happens after someone visits your website? What happens after they make an inquiry? What happens after they make a purchase? What happens after they book on a class or a course? What happens after their first session? There's often some massive money leaks in this, because there's a lot of gaps that you can plug. There's a lot of infrastructure you can put in place. And yes, you can automate most of this. But just following up with people is a really good way, particularly if you only need a small number of clients every year, right? You've got time. If you need 10, 20 clients a year, you've got time to speak to people, pick up the phone, good God, no, but to kind of have some sort of conversation or some sort of interaction with people. And it makes a difference. And this is where you might be leaving opportunity behind. And it might just be for feedback, and it might be for a collaboration. It might be for another opportunity. You never know what you're going to be invited to do. Or it might be direct clients that pay you money. So this, think about your customer journey and think about what happens and what doesn't. And also test the process as a buyer. Test what happens. I said this to a client recently. You ever signed up for one of your classes as a learner or as a parent for their kids? No. Right, we'll try it and see what happens, because then you will see the gaps that there are, or where perhaps some of the automated emails come across as a bit functional rather than kind and caring. And yeah, So I suggest that you do that too, because you can learn some interesting things by having a slightly different eye on the stuff that you're doing. Right, number 8. Founder exhaustion. Let's talk about exhaustion. Oh my God. I mean, sometimes the business isn't underperforming or broken or, you know, whatever we think. It's that you're knackered, to be honest. And this can be, you can see the signs in things like overcomplication, adding more stuff in, chucking everything at it, the reactive decisions and irritability, constantly switching and abandoned ideas everywhere. It's really, really hard work, that. Really hard work. And yes, the way our brains are wired is responsible for some of that stuff. But if you're seeing those signs in your business, maybe it's time to just step away for a bit. You know, have a couple of days away. Have a couple of days doing nothing. Have an afternoon of doing nothing. You've got to service the obligations that you have. But just stepping away from your business is one of the best things that you can do. And yes, you might have to put in really extra graft for a couple of days to allow you to have that time off. But honestly, that time away is going to make such a difference. You've got to look after your own mental health. And, you know, I've been through burnout within the last 6 months, but it was coming for probably 2 years. It took probably 2 years to build up to the mother of all crashes that I had last year. I didn't see the signs. I didn't see the signs. There was a lot of business-related stuff, though. And there was a lot of personal-related stuff, too, with house moves and husband's job and blah, blah, blah. But you've got to look after yourself, particularly if this is you, right? And it so much does rely on you. This is where a bit of infrastructure is important. This is where support is important. This is where outsourcing some things is important. And this is where just treating yourself as if you're an employee and treating yourself with kindness is really important in business. Okay. Number 9, you've built around what you can do, not what you want to do. Did an episode on this a couple of episodes ago, maybe 3 or 4 episodes ago. Just because you can doesn't mean you should, right? Go back and listen to that. I built my business many times over the years of what I can do, because I can do loads of stuff. Not to sound like a knob, but I'm quite good at quite a lot of things. And I can pick stuff up quite quickly. And I've been doing this for a long time, right? I've been in the online world for a long time. So I've learned a ton of things over the years. But things like, you know, you built a membership and you don't want to be on all the time. So you don't want a membership then, do you? You built courses that you don't enjoy. Don't do them then. Do consultancy on that topic instead, if it's the topic you like, but not the course you don't like. And services that you resent. If you have an inkling of, oh, then it's wrong for you. And you get to choose in your own business. You get to decide what you do. So if you start to resent services or clients, maybe, right? That's probably a sign that they're not the right client group for you, or the pricing is wrong. You can change all this stuff. I know you maybe can't change it overnight because you might have obligations to satisfy, but you can definitely make these changes and make these positive steps forward over a period of time, whatever you need. You get to decide. And then number 10, which is, it's a biggie, is a lack of actual strategic thinking. It's quite funny. I'm working at the time of recording. I'm mid project with an absolutely gorgeous client through a third party who I work with them every year as part of a competition, big national competition that they run, and I love that work. Right, so this is someone who is sort of allocated to me. I don't choose them. We don't necessarily know each other beforehand. And I had a session with this business owner, and you know, I said to you, are you strategic? Are you proactive? And he said yes, and listed lots of things they did. And I'm like, no, well, they're all reactions, aren't they? And it was quite funny because the dawning on him of, oh yeah, maybe I'm not strategic at all, actually, now I think about it, maybe I don't plan. Maybe I'm not steering this business. The light bulb was incredible. And it's allowing us to move forward at much more of a pace now, because kind of recognizing your own blind spots is really, really, really powerful. So if you have ideas everywhere but direction nowhere, then perhaps you have a lack of actual strategic thinking too. So things like no clear plan, no priorities, no decision framework, you're just reacting to stuff all the time and firefighting, this is one that you need to think about. You know, most businesses don't need more adding. They need clearer thinking and more removing. And that, you know, that's the core of my work, really. I'm like the Marie Kondo for businesses, of just helping you tidy your sock drawer, because it really matters, the sock drawer of your business. So think about these things. Think about these 10 mistakes. And I say mistakes, you know, because, well, we can think of a different word, but these 10 mistakes that small business owners make, and just kind of see where you are and catch yourself in it and make the change, because you can make the change, right? Your business. Do what you like with it. All right. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next time on another episode of Messy Business. Ta-ra! Thanks for joining me for another episode of Messy Business. If this episode made things feel a little clearer, come and tell me. I'm over on Instagram at Libby Langley. Until next time, remember, you can change how you work without needing to change who you are.